Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 94 of English with Kirsty. And today I just want to remind you, because the English with Kirsty newsletter went out today, that there is a newsletter for English with Kirsty. It has links to articles and resources and podcasts, and there's also some information that is only there for newsletter subscribers. So that could be like this month there's a special deal on the writing course, or it could be like last month there was some training that was only made available to newsletter subscribers, some free training. So if you are interested in that, then you can sign up on the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode94. And you can also use that form to share any comments with me if there's anything you'd like to hear about in future podcasts, that kind of thing, or if you'd like to let me know what you think of the podcast as well. So today I'm going to talk about something a bit different, but it's, you know, people that decide to come to the UK to study, what else they can do. Because sometimes I think, when you think, oh, okay, I'm coming to a language school for a few weeks, or I'm going to do a semester at an English university, or I'm going to do a job placement in an English company, sometimes people think, oh, that's enough, you know, I'll learn a lot doing that. And that's true, but it would be better if you can think of some other things, because you will also have a lot of spare time. And if you have some other ideas about what you can do with that spare time, it will A, stop you getting bored or lonely, and B, it will give you some other opportunities, other ways that you can improve your English rather than just focusing on what you're studying. Because sometimes what you're studying is great, it will help you with your field of study, but it won't necessarily help with the social interactions. So it's good to have some other ideas as well. So I've got 8 things that people can do. And I just thought I'd run through them, because if this applies to you, then you'll have some ideas. Or if you're coming to England or an English-speaking country for any reason. So the first one is the normal day-to-day interactions. So if you surround yourself by other people who speak your native language, the chances are you'll only speak English in the classroom or when you're at the university, because you won't need to speak English with your native-speaking friends. So although it's good sometimes when you're in a new country, getting used to everything, to have some people around you who you don't have to speak English with because they speak your native language, it is also good to find other international friends. Maybe you don't share the same native language, or other English-speaking friends, because then you won't just be using the language in the classroom, you'll also need it outside. And that will really help you to A, make friends, and B, practice your English. The second point is about tandem partners, because big groups can be quite daunting. You know, if you go to a big group of students or something, some kind of event, it can feel a bit overwhelming, especially if you're not somebody who generally likes big crowds of people and who does better in a one-to-one situation. So I often talk about tandem learning, but I think it's a really good way to get that kind of deeper conversation, or to relax a bit more with one person rather than in a big group setting. So there are loads of places for finding language tandems, and especially if you're in England, for example, there'll be lots of people who speak English. So there are websites, either you can do it on Facebook, or there are specific sites like conversationexchange.com, and they can help you to find someone who is wanting to learn your language and who also speaks English. So that's another option if you don't like big groups, big parties. It's a way to get to know somebody in a bit more relaxed setting, because it's just one-to-one. Number 3, meetup groups. So I moved out of London a couple of years ago to somewhere a bit further away from London, and I knew a few people locally, but I didn't know many. And so I went on to a site called meetup.com, and there are groups for all kinds of different social activities. So I joined one for walking, so going for walks in the countryside, with different people. And I also joined a local social one. So that was, we went to the theatre together. We had a meal around Christmas time. So not at Christmas, but like and got together for a meal. There was a social night where people just got together for a glass of wine and chatted. I'm trying to think what else we did. There was definitely a few walks that I got involved with. And it's basically a way to find people with the same interests. I mean, I think the bigger the town or city you're in, the more chance you have of finding groups. But there are ones about language, there are ones for certain age groups, there are ones about certain activities that people enjoy, like dancing or that kind of thing. So if you want to meet people who share your hobbies and you can't find them at the language school or the university, then this website is quite good because it covers all kinds of activities and interests. And it's a good way to find people who are like you in some way, and that may help you to find friends. Number four is volunteering. So you have to be careful to make sure what you're doing is actually volunteering, a service that isn't paid for and not working, because there are restrictions in terms of some visas. I'm not a visa expert, so I'm not going to go into that in great detail, but just to be aware that you need to make sure it is actually a voluntary job. But when I was learning German, I did it in the UK actually, but I was involved with a project, an internet project, and there were forums and there were different projects going on to help. It was to provide services for visually impaired people in Germany, but I became part of the project team and the technical team and various other, the quality assurance team, I think. I was involved, quite heavily involved with that for a while. It was voluntary, so I didn't get paid for it. But what I learned during this period was invaluable, because now every day I speak and write German for my business, and that's just normal. You know, my inbox is a range of English and German emails, and I have to answer them all in English or German, and that's fine. But, you know, you have to start somewhere. And sometimes volunteering is a really good way, because you haven't got the pressure of being in a job where you're speaking English. If you can help in some way by giving your time, okay, you're giving your time for free, but also you can learn some really valuable skills while you're doing that. And especially if you have restrictions in terms of any work that you're able to do because of your visa, then volunteering is great. Or even if you're not coming to the UK, you could do what I did. There are ways of, you know, helping with projects, things that you're interested in online, and you don't even have to go anywhere. So, but I wanted to include this because I really learned a lot from it, because I had to put my thoughts down in writing in German. I had to argue my point sometimes. I had to get clarification because I had rights to the website and things, and if I did something wrong, then I could have caused a problem. I didn't, but you know, understanding how things work in another language, taking instructions, all these things are really important to know how to do them. And sometimes volunteering is a good way to do that. Number five, news and entertainment. It's easy to get information from all over the world on the internet, so don't just kind of run back and watch everything in your native language. Of course, you probably want to know what's going on at home and watch maybe your favourite TV series, I don't know. But remember too that you can get loads of stuff in English as well, whether you're in England or not. You know, the internet is so good for allowing us to access audio and video materials in other languages. Number six, training. I know somebody who was on holiday in Turkey for a couple of weeks. She's not a native Turkish speaker, she's learning Turkish, and she went to a dance class. So it wasn't a language class, she wanted to learn this specific type of dance, and so she went there. So all the instructions were in Turkish, but she was able to watch what was going on as well. But she did the dance class, and I think that's really good, because, you know, find something else that you're interested in and take a class in that. It's in the language that you're learning as well, so it is a language learning activity. But it's also something new or something that's interesting for you. Number seven, local events. This is maybe more relevant if you're going to a big city like London, but it's still worth investigating. I met up with somebody who had come to London for a work placement. So she was working for a company in London for, I think it's 3 or 6 months or something like that. And we met up for a language exchange. but she was also involved in some other activities on a group in Facebook, which was like New to London or something like that. And they organised different kind of events, going to art galleries, going to, I think they had a picnic. I'm not sure what else they did because I didn't go. But there are groups on Facebook for anybody who's new to a city, and that kind of makes it easier for you to make friends or to do an activity that you were going to do anyway, but just with other people, so you've got someone to talk to. So it's worth checking out whether there is something like that in the city that you're going to, so that you will have the opportunity to meet some new people. And number 8, I'm aware that all of these things are involving other people, and sometimes you've kind of had enough of other people if you've spent all day in a language school with them. Then I know I get to the point where I'm just like, I'm done with social interaction for a while now, I just want some time on my own. But something that you can do is, I've seen people do this and I think it's really cool, is to start a blog or a YouTube channel or a podcast, I guess, for whatever material you're most interested in or feel comfortable with, and talk about your experiences in the other country. And of course, if you can do that in English, if you're coming to England, that's great for your language skills. It means you can practice speaking or writing about your experiences, and maybe you'll find other people in a similar situation too, so they'll either be able to share their experiences, or they'll be able to talk to you and comment on yours and the pictures you share or the things that you talk about. So sometimes it's a really interesting way of documenting your experience if you create something like a blog or a YouTube channel to talk about that. Or even, I guess you could do it on something like Facebook Live if you have if you want to do it that way. So yeah, or a I don't know, a Facebook page, so you don't automatically share it with all your friends if you don't want to do that. So yeah, that's just a few ideas about things you can do that, in addition to a language course or a semester at a university or a work placement, that will help you to improve your language skills. So I hope that's helpful. Remember, if you want to sign up for the newsletter, it's not too late, because I will send them out if you sign up in June. You don't have to wait till July. And you can do that on englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode94. And yeah, I hope that was useful, and I will be back again next week. Have a great week and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.